All right. Welcome back. I don't know if that one's working. You might want to plug it into the other plug there, Joseph. But eventually I can get you some headphones. You really only need them if we take a phone call. Joseph Hayes is here from the Times Herald. And we like to talk football when Joseph comes around. And there's lots of different types of football to talk about. You want to start with high school? You want to start with college? You want to start with your favorites, the Lions?
Let's start with high school.
All right, let's start with high school. I've been touching on it a little because I'm getting excited. The season starts next week. In the blue, that's where Port Huron Northern is this year with Port Huron High. Big Reds are young. I know they're co-champs of the league from a year ago, but that's a young football team, whereas Northern brings just about everybody back. We're all hearing about McGregor. You know, he's being recruited by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reason. 6'5", what, 6'5",
240.
You know.
Junior.
and then you've got, what, Klink feels like he's a five-year starter at that school, and he's still probably got another year left after this year.
And then you add in what I would call the most underrated athlete in the Blue Water area, Theo Ellis.
Yeah, I said it yesterday that don't be surprised if Theo Ellis doesn't end up being the best back in the Blue Water area this year. Because Haney's gone, he's graduated, he's not at Marine City, Theo Ellis has got all the tools.
He's a real deal, man. He's a real deal.
So I don't know if they're going to get back to 9 wins, but this is a playoff team, and I mean Frazier, PH, Roseville, Lakeville, Warren, Cousineau, they got as good a chance as anybody to win the Blue.
That's true.
And they're, I see them at least winning. For sure, 6 games, but 7, maybe 8 games.
But I think the hard thing is, Dennis, is that we always talk about schools and their recovery and their ability to get back in and get back in the playoffs. And Northern had their best season in 30 years. So now the question is, how do you manage expectations? And that's such a hard jump because you know how it is. Like when you look at the Patriots, they're a model of consistency. And that's why it's so impressive that they're doing a year in, a year out. Can Northern make another step to where they have another 9-win season? I feel like that's important because objectively, who has more talent than Northern in the area? Why wouldn't they be considered to win? I mean, why wouldn't they be considered one of the favorites to win the Blue, even moving up because of their talent coming back? Usually when you're in a situation where you have 10 sophomores starting, you're going to have a pretty good junior class, right?
Yeah.
You would think so.
You would think so.
So my expectations for Northern is to really pace the area for football. I mean, I think it's amazing right now that in Blue Water area football, we have 3 different athletes at different schools getting recruited D1. Hunter DeLore in Marysville. You got Travis, how does his name evade me now? The big defensive tackle in Yale.
Yeah.
And obviously, like you said, McGregor. So literally, scouts are going to be everywhere on Friday nights. Like, you go to a football game in the Blue Water area, whether you're in the BWAC with Yale or whether you're just in the MAC somewhere, you're going to have recruits there looking at these guys, and somebody else might get noticed. So it's really a time for people to really show up on Fridays and enjoy the season because I think it's going to be memorable. I think it'll be one to watch.
I want to tell you what you might laugh at us. Some of you might snicker and go, oh, high school football. I'm telling you, if you go out this year to games around the area, you're going to see some really good football players. Not just the guys that you mentioned, Joseph, mm-hmm. but our teams from our area crossover. They play MAC red teams.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some exceptional players right now at some of those schools. Even look at it, the end of the season, I'll tell you what, Port Huron High Big Reds, they open the season against Carmen Ainsworth. Carmen Ainsworth quarterback is the real deal. And they close the season with Warren Woods Tower. Towers quarterback is the real deal.
Saturday players, bro.
His last name was Bird last year. He's changed his last name. It's like Betts or Billings or something now this year.
Hmm.
But it's the same kid.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And he's got a gun. He has got a gun, and he can run all over the place. He's the real deal.
So answer this question for me then, because I've been talking to several coaches this week about this issue. Area football and just the talent coming here, like you mentioned, whether it be like talent established here or actually coming to face us, is great. And just the anticipation for the year is still there. But if you look at the rosters for all the teams, they're on a steep decline. Like Mark Kaza told me at Marysville, they have 43 players. think about that and how the roster that Marysville or Marine City will have or St. Clair. I mean, you see two different shifts now where interest is still strong, but the athletes aren't coming out as much. So, yeah, you have a strong dynamic of talent. But what's going on right now to where the rosters keep diminishing in size?
Yeah, and it's getting tougher and tougher. I even look at the smaller schools, like what they've been going through at Memphis now for almost 10 years.
Carsonville Port Sadillac canceled their varsity season. They're only playing JV this year.
Yeah, which is a shame because it was just a couple of years ago they were winning state championships.
I know. You're right, bro. It really is it's an interesting dynamic where you would have a sport that everybody's interested in, but now we're seeing a trend where they don't want their own children to play. And so, like I was telling people this week.
Is it the concussion thing? Or are parents scared now that their kids are going to get hurt playing high school football?
I don't see any other reason beyond that because who doesn't like football, bro?
The stands are packed and people get excited at this time of year.
What level of football doesn't have strong interest? Look at TAFL, bro. You see what I'm saying? Level of football has extreme interest. But once you get to the high school, I don't know if it's just because they're playing younger and they're getting worn out by the time they get to high school. Because high school is almost becoming like the best of the best, bro. Like your best athletes are going to go play football. And so I don't know if it's just a matter of attrition, but it does seem like right now we're in almost like a golden age. And we don't know what's beyond this age. Because when these athletes leave and this dynamic keeps shifting, what happens to schools like we're saying, like Carsonville, Port Sadillac, and Memphis? Does their football program actually go away?
Yeah, and then, you know, folks, once stuff goes away, it's hard to get it back, and it's hard to start it up and keep it strong. And it's not about winning and losing either. Don't make it about winning and losing. I don't care if your program doesn't have a win for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's still important.
Oh, come on.
It's still important.
Because it's one of those traditional things that you remember about high school. And the great thing is in small communities, like being from Detroit, it was so much different coming out here and watching football because the actual atmosphere was different. Like in Detroit, everybody in the whole city not showing up at a game, bro. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in Richmond, or somebody going to run out here, the whole town going to shut down and put their focus on these amateur athletes. That's a special thing. Every environment is not like that. And so the hard part is, will you enjoy that moment while it's happening? Like when you're going to see this year, a tremendous amount of athletes come. Like we were talking about the week one matchups. Bro, like it's so many great athletes going to be in the area and so many great matchups that week. This is going to be a dynamic season.
Yeah. I think about this. Look, we have had professional sports teams here and have pro teams here right now who would kill to have one night the Port Huron High Port Huron Northern football game.
You're so right, bro.
There aren't enough seats at big Memorial Stadium where they've added seats in one of the end zones.
Oh yeah.
There aren't enough seats for that game.
Or when Marine City or St. Clair is colliding at East China Stadium. I mean, it's so many great games like that. And I think what we're trying to say is that this should really be appreciated because something special is happening. But you don't know how long it's going to continue. So when you get a chance to see, like I remember when I first heard about McGregor getting recruited, I was like, wow, like how did this happen so fast? Well, in 2018, information flows like that where you can have a kid blow up like that. So imagine how many more athletes are going to get noticed in our area.
Can you just imagine? You can just type a name in on the internet and there'll be a YouTube thing showing plays that he's made, tackles and sacks or interceptions, or if he's playing tight end, catches that he's made. It's out there.
It's almost like high school football is like a miniature version of college football. Like literally now.
It's getting that way.
It really is, bro.
Especially
like places like Texas and stuff. Maybe in Michigan, we're behind.
Well, I think about, okay, I started in radio in 1991. And the first football game I did was the Reese Rockets against the Unionville Sebring Patriots.
Wow.
When I was working at a radio station in Caro. And in that entire football game, they might have thrown two passes.
Wow.
Or attempted two passes. Probably both were incompletions.
Wow.
And nowadays, teams line up in the spread formation.
Everybody.
They're running the pistol. They're out of the shotgun. They're doing this, that, and the other thing. And you got quarterbacks that'll put the ball up 30 times in a game now.
Mm-hmm. That's true, bro. And that's why when I was nodding what you were talking about, Port Huron schedule, I just think it's so cool that they're going to face that caliber of quarterback and go through that test. Like, it's interesting that Port Huron and Northern, they're choosing to go up to the MAC Blue when really they don't. You know what I mean? Like, when I was talking to them about talking to Port Huron Northern coach Larry Rollins just about not being able to face St. Clair and Marine City and Marysville any longer, he said he wanted to preserve those matchups, but he wanted to keep testing his team. So I think that's a great mindset where they're putting themselves in position to go against a high degree caliber of athlete right now.
Yeah, I do like the fact that Marine City, St. Clair, Marysville are all able to stay together.
I agree.
And let's talk about the silver, because now you throw in Madison. You want to about a team that's got a quarterback that's the real deal.
Madison's
quarterback is really good. Southlake is kind of a wild card because they've had some teams. We were there. We sat there and watched the one night that they were at East China Stadium. Mm-hmm. Well, the score ended up being like 54-49.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I think they ran back the kickoff, and then Marine City ran back the kickoff, mm-hmm. and then Southlake ran back the kickoff. Yep. So you never know what you're going to get with them. Clintondale, they're solid. I don't know. They're making the jump up from the bronze.
Mm-hmm.
But Clintondale is still a solid program. That's a really good 16 league right there. And I'll tell you what, James Bishop is really excited about the Saints MAC Media Day. He was telling people, watch out. Don't take us lightly.
Okay.
We can play.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Well, get coaches that will go up there and mm-hmm. say, hey, look, I think we're good. You better watch out for us.
Hmm. But I think for him, just knowing James, I'm not surprised because he's like a winner. He's a winner. You know what I mean? They've had so many winning teams. You know, last year stung. So this year, I expect them to have a chip on their shoulder. I actually expect them to have a good season.
Yeah, and he's got Ethan Mon back,
mm-hmm.
and we know after Theo Ellis, Ethan Mon might be the next best back in the area.
That's true. That's true.
Certainly numbers wise, because he's going to put up big numbers. But of course, Aaron Sof in Marine City, he's going to put up big numbers too.
Another quality running
back. They've always got fast kids back there. True. I don't know where they get them from.
And you know how it is. Algonac's going to have somebody.
Yeah.
Richmond has somebody.
They've lost a lot. I was looking at the roster because I did their game in Frankenmuth last mm-hmm. year, and I was just looking at that roster. They graduated a lot of kids that were very important. And the one name that I remembered that's coming back is Jewel, the running back.
Yeah, but remember Stevenson and Folkerts?
Gone. Yeah, Folkerts was big, and Moss was the quarterback, so they're mm-hmm. going to have a new quarterback this year.
Well, their quarterback is going to be Luke's younger brother. He actually had Tommy John surgery. I talked to him this week. He's back, and Barnhart just raves about him. But when I was doing research about them, I didn't realize that they had won the most games in the whole area over the last 3 years. I think it was 31 games.
31-6 the last three years.
This is amazing. With three different quarterbacks.
They've won three straight district titles.
Mm-hmm.
Lost in the regionals twice, lost in the semifinals once. Yeah. And did you know this? The 9 years prior to that, they won 21 total games. 21 total games in 9 years, and in the last three, they've won 31.
Wow. That's amazing.
Their worst season in the last 3 years is 10 wins.
Yep. That's amazing, bro. And I feel like Northern could do that next.
And you talk about a town that comes out to watch the football games.
Oh, yeah.
They come out to the Rats travel, too.
And even though I think they lost 10 singers on defense or something like that, I still expect them to have a good season.
Yeah.
I think they're the favorite for the BWAC.
Well, the Detroit News did their rankings for the East side, and they had Northern at number 9 and Algonac at number 10. Mm-hmm. On a list that's got Eisenhower, Chippewa Valley, Dakota, Romeo, mm-hmm. and all those teams.
I don't know.
They've got Northern and Algonac, 9 and 10. They're not saying that they're going to beat those teams, but
I know that's
still
hard,
that's getting a lot of respect.
Oh yeah, that is impressive.
So
that's hard though.
Yeah, no, I know the red is a different animal. I feel so bad for Anchor Bay.
Oh man,
they got to go into the red. They finally had a really good season last year. Their mm-hmm. reward is they get moved up to the red.
Mm-hmm. They better come up with another Taiwan Jones. They better find somebody like that.
Please tell me that. We talk about numbers getting smaller and all this, and I'm not a big fan of specializing
mm-hmm.
in sports. I think kids should play as many sports mm-hmm. as they can, but there are exceptions. Romeo Weems is an exception. Please tell me he's not playing football for the Rockets this year.
I do not believe he is. No. I mean, Romeo is so busy with everything. But I think the question is, when you are in a position like him last year, should he have played? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't have played. It's the same thing about Ben Davidson.
Yeah, he hurt
Ben
his shoulder.
Ben Davidson was a super wide receiver for the mm-hmm. Saints.
He was.
But we knew his bread and butter was basketball.
Exactly. Is it worth the risk?
Yeah.
I don't know anymore, man. Like, the game has changed so much where it's almost like you should expect some type of injury from the season. You should expect to have something to carry over into the basketball season. So why even chance it?
Yeah, well, in his case, because Romeo's going to go beyond college.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to go beyond college, so he doesn't need to play high school football.
I agree, bro. But even he wants the experience.
I know, but he got 2 years in. Mm-hmm. But let's not go to the well too often here.
I agree.
All right, I got to take a break here, but we'll be back with more because I still want to talk some college football, and we'll talk some Lions, too, with Joseph Hayes, who's with us on the program. Welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. Joseph Hayes from the Times-Herald is in, and let's talk a little college football. I wish we were on the air when you were just going there about U of M. You like U of M. You think this is the year. You put it this way. They're out of excuses.
Oh, yeah.
They're out of excuses. You think that not only can this team win a Big Ten title, but you think they should be challenging for a national championship.
Well, the thing that makes me confident about Michigan is that objectively, I believe we're going to see a lot of these guys on Sunday. And so, like I was telling you, they have two defensive ends. They're going to be top 15 draft picks. They have a quarterback who's supposed to be a top first-round draft pick. They have two running backs that could be running backs in the draft. I mean, if they don't compete this year for a national championship when he's had a chance to have a full recruiting class, wouldn't you say they're out of excuses? Like, I feel like this is put up or show up time.
Yeah, but I just look at it. You got to go to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you feel Michigan State's been maybe a little lucky the last two times.
Well, not lucky. They've been more than fortunate. For sure, bro. For sure.
You know, you're not anticipating.
And I'm not hating on Michigan State.
No, I know you're not. And you're not anticipating any monsoons.
Exactly, bro.
Or any fumbled snaps.
Or the last play of the game with a punt. Come on, bro.
That's still crazy. That's the greatest play in the last 50
because it
years.
Never happens. It never ever happens, bro.
It happened then.
It did.
Thank goodness. Because I was rooting for the Spartans.
I bet you were.
Anyways, and the whole Ohio State thing. See, my stance on it is Urban Meyer will be there. He'll be there.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I believe me. If he was getting the axe, don't you think it would have happened by now?
I think that public perception is an extremely strong tool today. Like, I make fun of, and it's really not funny, but remember how Tiger Woods' perception before he had all those affairs?
Oh, people
remember
loved him.
What he looked like after the affairs when he didn't win anymore? Same guy. What does he look like as a winner again? You see how public perception has come full circle for him.
Yeah.
And if at any point if you had bet like, oh, he'd be viewed such and such, you would have lost that bet. So the truth is, I don't know what's going to happen with Urban Meyer if they were to find another detail on week 4 or something. I mean, Ohio State is just trying to cover themselves, just like Michigan State tried to cover themselves, yeah. Just like Penn State tried to cover themselves. When they couldn't cover themselves, heads start rolling. So we're at a point now where they've been effectively covering themselves.
The Penn State thing was a little bit different to me because what Jerry Sandusky was doing, was apparently doing at the college, mm-hmm. in their locker room.
Oh, beyond heinous. But remember how Joe Pa was perceived as some lovable teddy bear, yep. dude that everybody loved Joe Pa. They would never have said anything bad about him. By the time he died, perception had completely turned against him. So who knows if that dynamic will happen again.
But my point here, and I'm not trying to let the domestic violence is a problem,
mm-hmm.
and it's if Smith is guilty of abusing his wife and beating her and all that, he should go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
He should go to jail. But my thing is who did Urban Meyer beat, and what exactly are we going after Urban Meyer for? Had Urban Meyer known about this and fired Coach Smith? Does that stop Coach Smith from going home and beating his wife?
Nope.
Was he beating his wife in the locker room and Urban was holding her down? What did Urban Meyer do here that thousands of other Americans have, you know, somebody's getting mugged in an alleyway. Some people are going to jump in and help. A lot of people are going to go, it's none of my business. Exactly. I'm going to move on. I don't want to get involved.
But it's once again that we love to play that game now of I'm better than you. And we love to see somebody in a tight spot and see how they handle it. And most of us handle it wrong. So when Urban Meyer went out there and lied and they had to backtrack, he put a lot of pressure on himself.
But again, since when are we firing somebody for lying to the media?
I think that today's
world... Every politician would be out of a job.
That's true. But I think in today's world, I think that the public is so strong and rallying against people that people really are guilty in the court of public approval. And when donors start dropping out and sponsorships start and all of this start, the money ball starts rolling, people's heads start rolling. And so I would ordinarily say, oh, Urban Meyer is safe. Look at what he's done in Ohio State. In 2018, bro, I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I want to make sure, though, that he loses his job because he deserves to lose.
I feel you.
His job. I mean, because, again, this isn't something that's happening on the football field. Mm-hmm. This isn't something, and these people that, oh, he's got this guy on his staff. He's teaching the wrong message to these young student athletes. What are you talking about? They're not out there running practice on how to abuse a woman. Mm-hmm. They're not doing that. That's not going on. He's not walking around the room going, Hayes, you got to get meaner. You got to go home tonight and punch your wife and beat up your kid. That's not going on.
But you know, the issue, I think, is, and I don't believe that this is his fault. I feel like the issue is the culture of football breeds violence because, like, for instance, I enjoy watching the Amazon Prime series about University of Michigan, how the behind-the-scenes look at their season. Mm-hmm. And on the banner of their locker room, it said, handle your problems with aggression. Now, in any other walk of life, we would be like, that's a terrible thing to tell a young adolescent person to handle their problem. But think about if that gets ingrained in you. When do you ever get used to turn it off? Like, I have a whole bunch of homies, bro, who play football. People who play Division I football. Some of them even play in the NFL for a few games. The truth is, most of them have problems with aggression, bro.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to turn it off. And so when they get with their families or they go to a regular job, if anything comes up, now a different person comes out because they, like, how is Ray Lewis ever going to settle down? How are these dudes who have learned to be like this every day ever going to learn how to turn it off unless they get taught that? So when these conversations come up, I wish that we would have a conversation about what are we learning in the culture of football right now? What is being taught to where that would be even overlooked for the sake of wins and so forth? Like, I don't think that we should fire everybody who has something come up because, like you said, who's not going to get fired? But we need to start looking at things and being like, why is this happening over and over and over again? What are we teaching these kids? Because we say they're student athletes, but what are we teaching them? They're learning to be aggressive as possible, and then they leave and they go out to their regular jobs.
Yeah, that's a good point. I got to take another break here, but when we come back, I promise I'll let you get a few words in on that silver and blue thing. You know who I'm talking about. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. The Lions play the Giants tonight in preseason action. I honestly don't get that much into the preseason. Like if I watch it tonight, and I might not, we might go out for dinner instead. But if I watch it tonight, it'll just be while the starters are in there.
I feel you.
Because that's what, that's what I'm going to see on Sundays. Because if I'm seeing Matt Cassel or Jake Rudock on a Sunday, mm-hmm. It's a Sunday I'm not going to want to watch.
That's a bad game.
There's a big drop-off from number one to number two at mm-hmm. that position for the Detroit Lions. But as we go into a new season, there's always new optimism. You've got Patricia in place now, and I think people are excited about that. They've at least, Quinn, when he goes into a draft each year since he's been here, it's not, ooh, shiny. It's, we need this, this, and mm-hmm. this, and that's where they draft. Mm-hmm. I think in year two, I'm excited about Davis at linebacker. I want to see Kerryon Johnson. They need, the running game has to be better. It has to be better. But, of course, they have to stay healthy, too, like mm-hmm. anything else. But as we're going in here, what are you excited about and what do you have questions about?
Well, I'm excited that they have Matthew Stafford. I mean, looking at it historically, over my lifetime, the Lions have never had a quarterback like Matthew Stafford. So the simple fact of the matter of them going out and getting who was well-regarded as a center, basically the best center in the draft at the time, and putting him at left guard where he has less pressure on him, reinforcing the backfield with Kerryon Johnson, who looked good in the first game, and LeGarrette Blount, you would think that the offense would have almost a dynamic feel this year where we finally come together, where you have play action and so forth. So to me, the question is, the Lions' most important free agent acquisition has to be Matt Patricia. Like, to me, like we've talked before about how NFL coaches year one come in, 9 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, challenge for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, the guy with the Rams is who everybody points to. Like, oh, yeah. Look at the Rams. They were terrible. They made a change in coach, and they're great.
But now, for the first time as Detroit Lions fans, we're in a position where we had a winning coach who was told that you're not winning enough. We need somebody to come and bring us to another level and take us over the top. So, whoa. Like when Marty Morningweg said the bar is high, I think about it, bro. Like what could be realistic expectations when you fired the guy who went 11-5 in his first season? You better not go below 11-5, bro. So the defense that the Lions are going to have, in the addition that Matt Patricia is going to bring just overall to the program and the organization, I feel like that's a story to watch, bro. Like, he has to be on fire day one. And look how his tenure started. Like, he already been beefing with media in Detroit over the whole sex scandal for 25 years ago that somebody brought up.
Yeah, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me
either. Yeah, you're talking about no honeymoon stage, bro. Like, day one, like, combative. Now he doesn't even give, like, an elaborate answer to anybody.
No, I think that's typical of a lot of Detroit coaches, though.
Not before their first game, though, bro. Not before their first game. But I do think the Lions will be a fun team to watch, especially offensively. Defensively, I have so many question marks, man. That's why I want to see preseason. Yeah. I want to see their defensive systems that's going to be so multiple. And I want to see their rookies. I want to see what type of additions are we getting, like second-year players like Tyus Tabor. Like, what are we going to get from a guy who's in the developmental stage? Yeah.
Well, I like their secondary guys.
Oh, I do too.
The big question is, will they be able to stop the run? Because you know, yes, to win in the NFL, you've got to stop the run.
And rush the passer. Like, we've always heard about moving Ziggy around. This year, we're going to see him in a 3-4 look. So those are the intriguing things to me. But I feel like the hardest dynamic for the Lions is that they fired a winning coach. They better win right away. And that is such a challenge, bro, where you're expected to come in and compete for the North the first year that you're here and compete for a playoff spot. So that's their challenge this year.
Well, Brady, who's a pretty big Lions fan, has got them going 9-7.
Not good enough.
He went game by game back there. He had them at 9-5, but for some reason he had them fizzling out at the end there. He thought those last two games were tough games. But So, and I'm with you. 9-7 probably doesn't get it done.
No.
This year.
No.
Maybe a wild card, though, because you really don't know. I mean, who else is, are we sure? Is good?
Well, everything needs context. The Lions went 9-7 last year. Their coach got fired.
I know.
You can't go 9-7, bro. Yeah. You have to at least go 10-6. So, I feel like the great thing about Bob Quinn, whether he gets fired because of this or not, the great thing he has done, he has truly brought expectations up now to where the Lions must compete for playoff victories every year, or his job, he's going to be on the hot seat himself.
Yeah, and everybody gets down on me because I'm always skeptical and I'm always this and that. Look, the Lions have been beating me for 50 years. I'm an abused Lions fan.
I feel you, bro.
For 50 years, they've been coming home going, here, I got this gift for you, and I open up the box, and it's a bad gift.
Bro, one of my earliest memories was I was 9 years old when the Lions had their 91 dream season, when they went 12-4, and I actually thought, I was actually teasing my older brother that they had a chance to beat Washington in the NFC championship game.
And they did.
So my brother openly taunted me the whole game. They lost, what, 51-7 or something?
It was bad. But my thing is, and it's going to be, and look, they're in probably the best shape they've been in, even when they had Barry.
Yeah.
Well. But until they had Wayne Fonts.
95 team, bro.
You're not going to win with Wayne Fonts.
Well, okay. I'll give you that one.
But just until they win a couple of playoff games, just win, like make the playoffs, win again. You don't have to win the Super Bowl. Just win playoff games.